This is the Totally Ice Hockey Show. Direct from the action in Finland, we're bringing you all the news, insights, reactions, insider tips, and much, much more from the IIHF World Championship. The best 30 minutes of your day start now.
So now it is on Starkbaum, the netbinder, against David Krejci. And he slaps it wide. And Austria, with a huge upset win, defeats Czechia.
It took them to the very end, but the dramatics say it all.
The dramatics say it all, and it is the first upset of the tournament. We've been waiting for this. I mean, granted, we're only on, what, day six? I'm losing count, but we've been waiting for this.
Yes, we have. That's right. Mike, I do have a question for you before we start, because we just watched the video of the game-winning save. Well, it wasn't really save because he missed the net, but would you rather miss the net on a breakaway or have your puck saved by a dangle?
I would rather neither, because I'd rather score.
Well, if you're not going to score.
That wasn't an option, Mike. That wasn't an option.
I think I probably would rather the goalie make the save. Like, make him make the save. Like, although I do respect and totally appreciate the slapper on a penalty shot. Like, I think Marian Hossa, Sheldon Soure, you know, if David Krejci wants to try to light it to the top corner for about 15 feet and a full slapper, good on him. I do appreciate that effort, but he was about 8 inches outside the post, so it wasn't yeah. It wasn't his best.
Yeah, no. But you got to make him work for it, don't you?
Yeah, ideally, right? Especially when your game's on the line, like, you know, make him make a save, give yourself a chance for something to happen.
Not only the game, but a 17-game win streak in the VM. I believe that is the 18th time that Austria and Czechia have met each other in the IIHF World Championship, and this is the first time that Austria has beat them. So not only is it a huge upset, but it is also historic on the Austrian side. Reagan, you happen to be right there watching their celebration, watching the fans' celebration. What did you see?
I saw a ton of excited fans, first of all. They are all crowding around where they walk out in the Zamboni area, and it was really it was just so cute because they were so excited. They had a huge flag, and even the goalie, the celebration that he had was really, oh my gosh, I just love goalie celebrations. And the way that the team embraced each other, it was like this, they were like, we've been waiting for this moment, this is ours, let's take on to it right now.
And you can appreciate it looked like they appreciated the significance of the moment, not just, oh, we're in good shape now to maybe not get relegated, whatever. But more than that, like, it was a kind of a historically important moment for Austrian hockey. And I think these smaller countries that are building need moments like this to keep them pushing forward, to keep them believing it's possible. So a massive, massive. And the drama of it all, like the goal super late and all of it, just touching it before it goes across the line, the whole bit was fantastic. Great, great drama and kind of a tight, tight game that you weren't expecting. And good for Austria to pull out a tight game, because this is the other thing we see. The countries that are not used to winning these close games against, you know, the bigger, more well-known countries, they rarely do. They often give up the lead. They can't figure it out in overtime. They don't get the shootout goal. They don't
finish the game.
You saw it
against the U.S.
Absolutely. And maybe that's a lesson learned for Austria themselves. Like, they were up against the Americans, were not able to close it down. They lost in overtime. Yeah, so I think that's important to learn and to win a close game and not just have the usual teams find a way to win.
It was an emotional and exciting minutes, or I'm assuming hours afterwards also, for the Austrian team. Listen to some of their players afterwards.
Like I said, I think the way we defend now, it's awesome. I think the team spirit we have right now, everybody is battling for each other. We jump in the shots, we defend like crazy, and we have so much fun in the room and on the ice. And I think that's the most important thing. Unbelievable. I don't even know when the last time we beat the Czech Republic in a game. I don't even remember. It must be like long ago, and especially at the World Championship.
World Championship
is never out. Yeah, that's just, like, it was already crazy for us to make that point against the USA. It gave us a really confident boost, and we wanted to keep going and really focus on every game and not just the really important ones. So today we were like really focused. We tried to
play our 1-2-2 really well, and we're like, so happy to finally get a win against the Czech team.
Oh, it was an unreal team effort. Like, we stick together the whole time. We knew we can come back. A little lucky in the end, but we'll take that. It's a nice win, but it doesn't matter if we lose the rest, so we have to focus on the next game. After the game is before the game, and tomorrow is a huge game, and we have to be ready.
Big win, but like they're saying, they have to be ready for the next, because it doesn't matter if they still don't leave this tournament, staying in the VM and not getting relegated. Regan, your moment of the day comes from this game. Tell us about it.
Yes, it was the fans. They're so cute. So after they got the award ceremony, they all skated a lap around the rink and then sat down right in front of their Austrian fans. They all took one knee and everyone was cheering, waving their flags. And there was a huge, gigantic flag. And there was one lady holding it that was almost in tears waving it. And it was just really beautiful, really beautiful moment, not for just for me, but for Austria and their team.
And it's a great moment to see. So if our listeners do want to watch it, they can go to the IIHF hockey accounts on Instagram or TikTok to watch it, because this is something that you don't want to just talk about. You have to see it for yourself to realize the magnitude of it. Mike, how about you? Hit us with your moment of the day.
Mine's not quite as sweet as Reagan's. And I do think that's great, the way that the players are willing to interact with the fans over here. It's different than professional hockey often, certainly hockey in North America, where there's kind of a separation there. And you know, you might wave to them, but that's about it.
Does that come from representing your national team? Does that bring on a different vibe in terms of the fans? This is your home country fans. Does it give you more of a reason to interact with them and be on the same level and with them emotionally?
Yes, for sure. For sure. Because you feel like you're all pulling for the same cause, your country, right? And the fact that in European hockey, you know, the fans, the chanting, the singing, they are more engaged with what's happening on the ice all the time. So to have that reciprocated back to them by the players is lovely. I mean, we see it even when teams lose, they go around and they stop in front of their fan section. They salute them. They recognize that their participation and everything else. So it is lovely to see. And that was a nice moment for sure. Mine, not quite the same, but I thought it was quite funny. My moment of the day. So Kazakhstan is trailing Switzerland late. And there's like 30 seconds left of the face-off in the neutral zone. And Yuri Mihailas, the coach of Kazakhstan, has not pulled their goaltender yet. And so I'm curious, watching the game, like, why would he not pull him? I mean, at this point, there's nothing to lose. Get him out of there. The players on the ice were thinking the same thing. So the Kazakhstan players were pointing over the bench and giving, like, the universal, like, wave sign, like, get this guy out of the net, give us a sixth attacker, and let's get going. It was amazing. And the best part about it was the coach listened, and he called the goalie off the ice because all the players were like, come on, get him out of there. So I just thought it was kind of a funny dynamic between the players, the coach, and the goaltender, that eventually the players got their way, which always makes me happy.
That happened to me, Mike. I will not lie to you. I had a similar situation happen this past year because our head coach was out, so we only had an assistant coach, and he was a little bit overwhelmed with both of the forward and defensive lines. And we were down by one, 2 minutes remaining, and I'm looking. I'm like, is he going to call her? Is he going to pull her? And I'm just like, pull the goalie! Pull the goalie! And then he starts waving at her.
Sometimes they need a little reminder. Like, things get hectic back there. So that was my moment of the day.
That's right.
Maybe they needed you by the Kazakhstan bench as well to tell him pull the
they
goalie.
They could have used her.
Probably.
Yes.
Well, I want to get into this Great Britain-Sweden game, but before we do, I want you guys to listen to the post-game interview with Jonathan Phillips. Listen to what he has to say.
To be honest, I think as players, we kind of let ourselves down, and you know, certainly wasn't the team that the ethos is built on. And I think we all, you know, obviously as Sweden, you've got to give them respect, but I think we didn't give ourselves enough respect in that first period. We kind of tried sitting back, and that's just not our style, you know. We weren't creating that kind of energy that we like to create. And then, you know, you could see our, you know, the second and third, we kind of started finding our groove and finding our identity back again.
So obviously credit to Sweden coming out with 5 goals in the first period, but like Jonathan Phillips says, do you believe that a lot of the credit goes to Sweden and their offense in this game, or was there more that Great Britain should have done? Are they not respecting themselves like Philip said?
Well, I think they were giving Sweden a little too much respect, because you can respect the game and the players in it, but if you respect them too much and if you think that they're so much better than you, then that's exactly what's going to happen in the game. You have to give yourself enough the same respect that you're giving that other team, and being realistic, but also knowing that you got to show up at the same time. So not taking your foot off the gas pedal, but also not sitting on your heels and waiting for them to attack you.
Two things. He properly used the word ethos, which is fantastic. So props to great to him.
That's what you took out of that interview.
That's how we talk. Thank you. I might mix it in my game coverage today somehow, some way.
You got to give credit to Jonathan Phillips, though.
And I'll give him the full footnoting credit that he deserves. The other thing is that I think what he makes a very good point in that, yes, you can respect the opponent and realize that they're good, but believing in yourself enough to play, as opposed to kind of being fearful, well, if we go at them, what does that mean for us? We're going to be exposed. We're going to give them goals. Kind of like finding the proper balance between respect and lack of fear. Like, you can't be so intimidated or, thinking that you're overmatched by the opponent that you forget to play. And it looked like in the first period, and I think that's what Jonathan Phillips was talking about, they kind of forgot to play how they want to. And they'd rather go down swinging than go down passive. So if you're going to play, and this is how Great Britain does it, like, they get up, they get after them, they challenge you. And yeah, they might not win every game, but they don't want to sit back and just let you come at them. That is not how they play. They were reminded of that, especially the first period of that game.
Like you mentioned in our Twitter spaces this morning, they have another big game coming up against the Americans. Do you expect them to come out differently, come out swinging in that game?
Yes. Right? I mean, play to their ethos. Absolutely. I expect them to...
Already mixing it in.
Listen, I'm a quick study.
We're going to start a tally. How many times Mike fit the word ethos into the Totally Ice Hockey Show podcast?
Yeah, but I expect them to be who they are. And whether that gets the result, I'm not so sure. But be true to who you want to how you want to play as a group.
And if we're talking about being true to who you are and finding your identity, are we slowly seeing that from the Danes? Or are we still looking to find out who they are after their game yesterday versus Italy?
I don't know just yet. You know, I still don't know.
Figuring it out.
You know, yes, they won, but it was a scraper, and it wasn't by any sort of commanding performance. 2-1 over Italy, and so yeah, they're happy they won, and I think that what they're trying to do is to get through Italy, Kazakhstan, and France, and set up themselves for a last day of the round robin game against Slovakia for fourth. Like, that's where they want to try to get to, but they are barely getting there. So I think they got to sort out offensively. It can't just be Nick Ehlers and nobody else. Like, he does so much for that team. So that's one of the things they need to work with. But interesting part of that game is Bau, who is a giant of a man. He's like 6'8". He's like massive. And the first goal was on the power play. Nick Ehlers scored it. But Bau in front of the net, as he should be. But he had his hands out wide momentarily in a kind of unnatural position, where they were extended in the eye line of the goaltender, almost as if that he was putting his hands or arms in front of the goalie's eyes, and then he put them back down by his waist. Ehlers came and shot and scored, but the Italians were complaining with some merit that you can't put your hands out in front of our goaltender's eyes. So it was an interesting little dynamic there, kind of like when Sean Avery was screening Marty Berger, putting his hands in front of his face. Not quite as obvious, but that same kind of idea. So that was interesting. And Bau got the game-winning goal in the third period, which was a nice night for him, because he is massive. I almost feel bad for him in the power play, because he just stands there and has pucks whizzing by him left and right. Doesn't ever get to touch it, just has to do the dirty work. But a good game from somebody else beside Nick Ehlers. But it wasn't a great performance by Denmark.
Also, you got to be able to accept your role. If you know you're that big guy, you got to be the man in front of the net. That's just how it works in hockey.
But sometimes you want to touch the puck, like mix in a touch, like give me a pass, give me like something. I'm not just a crash test dummy down here for you to shoot at.
Hey, you got to sacrifice the body to win the game. That's what happened.
Yeah, he did. He did.
All right, Mike, you already started talking about Kazakhstan and your moment of the day, but they took on the Swiss yesterday. What did you guys see from this game?
The goaltender for Kazakhstan, his name is Shutov. Something like shutout. Like, it is very appropriate. This guy was outrageously good. I mean, 3-2 is a very complimentary score to Kazakhstan. The shots were 3-1 in favor of 45-15 or whatever it was in favor of Switzerland. But Shutov was so good to keep his team in there. So many highlight reel saves, one after another. You almost be like, oh my goodness. Like, at some point, something has to beat him. But no, he was rock solid throughout. So he kept them in it. It was maybe a little bit more like Kazakhstan played last year, where they bend but don't break, defend kind of hard, rely on goaltending, and then get some time on the offense. And they did all that, but not quite enough. And Dennis Malgin, we probably don't talk about him on Switzerland with Meyer and with Heischer and the other high-end NHL guys. This guy has been amazing all tournament long, skating beautifully, attacking with speed. The shots there, he scored again. He scored in every goal of this tournament. He has been dynamic for the Swiss as well, and they need that. So, again, a good win, but not a great result for Switzerland. They're probably wanting a little bit more as well, but you got to give credit to the goaltender in Kazakhstan.
And what happened in that last goal for Kazakhstan? How'd that go in?
The last goal that Kazakhstan scored?
Yeah, the second one.
They first one was Jesse Blacker wrister, and the second one was another kind of scrambly play at the second, in the third period. They didn't really generate anything through the first two, but it wasn't until the third period where they finally got a couple looks, and the goaltender for Switzerland, incidentally enough, their third goalie in three games. Like, they've used all their goalies in three games.
No way.
He let it slip through him. He wouldn't be very happy about it. Kind of like snuck underneath his foot, but, it was, Kazakhstan didn't really push till very, very late. They made it interesting, but Switzerland was kind of always in control.
Okay, got it.
Tonight, Finland versus Sweden, perhaps the biggest game of the tournament, at least here in Tampere, and joining us is Rania Savolainen. Rania, welcome to the show. Huge game tonight for the Finns.
Oh yeah, wow. As we say in Finland, they're our little brothers. So we're going to be the big brother today. So yeah, it's going to be huge. I think everyone is looking forward for that game. And you never want to lose against Sweden. I know that. And I think every player and fan know that. So it's going to be a big game.
Rania, do you talk about you being the big brother? They're the little brother. I bet they say they're the big brother. You're the little brother.
Yeah, I think that's...
Can you maybe... give us like kind of context, like how fierce, how big this rivalry is for these two countries.
Oh, wow. It's big. It's your neighbor country. And you have so much emotion and feelings when you play against them. I think you just want to be extra annoying and just want to make sure they do some stupid things on ice. But that's a country you never want to lose. You never want to go out from that game and be the loser one. So... I think the fans are having some extra competition too. So it's not only on the ice competition. It's going to be the fans too.
I was going to say, I have a question for you, Rania, because you played in Sweden and you said that you secretly liked Sweden. So who are you actually cheering for tonight? The questions are coming out.
Oh no, that was a secret. No. I've been living in Sweden for 6 years. So I have a little fan girl in me when I watch Sweden play, but for sure when it's Finland Sweden, it's always Finland.
Good answer.
Yeah, but when Sweden is playing against someone else, then it's Sweden.
So what is it like for you as a Finnish player for the Finnish national team? Obviously you play in Sweden with the Swedes. What is it like when you step on the ice in a situation like that?
It's a lot of feelings. I want to be really annoying against them, even if it's my friends or whoever. I just want to be super annoying and make sure they're going to be angry against me. It's a lot of feelings. You have so much energy and you want to make sure you're the best you and that you're going to make a huge win and stuff like that. It's like when you play against them, you just want to, I guess I destroy them, maybe.
That's a good word. Yeah. That's a good word.
Yeah, so
we'll take it. We'll take
so
it.
Not only is it a big rivalry, but also a game for the number one spot here in Tampere. What does Finland have to do, in your words, to destroy Sweden today?
Just play simple. And I think the key to play good is to have a good start, for sure. That makes the game easier if you get a good start and you have a good feeling in the team. And then I just think they need to be so annoying in front of the net, make the goalie a little bit shaky. And then just, I think they need to be a little bit more calm from the last game. It was a lot of hits and stupid hits from the Finnish side too. So they just need to play simple and enjoy.
When you played in games like this, did you change anything about your routine to get you better prepared?
No, I think it's I just think I have like overloaded of energy all the time when I play against them. That's something just comes when you wake up. I think that's just the only thing. I don't change anything, but you just have a little extra energy every morning when you wake up and have a game against Sweden.
How do you channel that energy to good places and not to the bad places?
Oh, well, I have always so much energy, and I think people are just saying like, how can she play with that energy? I always maybe they think I just are playing around and don't even have a focus on the game. But I think it's like you just put it in the warm-ups, you get it out, the extra energy, and then you have a good focus on the game.
We should have played in Luleå together, Ronja. I got the same energy.
I need someone in my team to have the same energy.
Same. Okay.
Well, we need to get the two of you on the ice together. Mike, you as well when you're over here in Tampere.
No, well, thank you. I don't have that kind of energy. I'm like, I'm the opposite. When I had a big game, I would want to just be really calm and like just be not caught up in the energy of it, because you know you're going to have the energy for the game, and I would kind of need to dial it back during the day and in warm up just to make sure that you didn't kind of get too excited. But that's where each athlete knows themselves and what they need and how they want to prepare for moments like this. But I'm always curious, were you ever, when you played in a big game like against Sweden in Finland, were you ever nervous? Did you ever feel actual nerves in a game like this?
Yeah, for sure. Now, it was a long time ago I played against Sweden, but I'm usually always a little bit nervous, but I'm more nervous against Sweden for sure. Because it's like the fans are expecting that we're going to win that game, and you just need to make sure you're going to win that game. So yeah, I'm usually nervous.
Mm-hmm. But you, Regan, do you get nervous for big games?
I channel it into excitement. I'm the energizer bunny. I get everyone pumped up. And so there's so many mental performance tips that I use now and that I've learned throughout my time playing in college and then in professional. So like, I'm a very level-headed person on the ice. There's not often that you'll catch me slipping, minus like one game. And that's only when I get three penalties in it. So other than that, I'm good.
All right. Well, what are those tips for all of our listeners? Maybe some of the players are listening, young players who are listening. What are those tips, Reagan?
First of all, just take in the moment. Recognize that you have the nerves, because those nerves are really excitement, because you're extremely pumped up to play in a big game like this. And another thing that I use is visualization technique. So I'll actually picture myself on the ice, or I'll watch highlight tape of me from like years past where this is the confidence. This is how I've played before. This is how good I am. And I know that I'm going to play well today. And I don't expect to get out there and be the number one all-star, but I do expect to get out there and do my job. So if you understand your role and you play to your role and not try to get away from it, then those are the best tips.
All right. Well, hopefully they're listening to those before this game, because it's going to be a big one. And Ronja, Reagan and I are going to come find you soon enough.
Perfect.
No goes.
That's for you guys. I'm staying away from those.
Oh, no. You need to taste one.
I'll take a sip.
Perfect.
But
what is a no-cos? I don't even know what that is.
It's like energy.
Another word to add to your vocabulary, like ethos.
Okay, it's not in my ethos to take energy drinks, but I'll try one, I guess.
Neither. I have not had an energy drink, I think, since I was 15 years old. So this is going to be the first sip that I have of one, and it's all because of you guys.
Peer pressure.
Yeah. Well, you know, I need a backbone. What are we going to do about that? Ronja, thank you for joining us, and we'll talk to you next Finland game day on the podcast. We'll talk to you later today in real life.
Oh yeah, looking forward to that. Thank you.
All right, guys, we've got more games coming up today over in Helsinki, Switzerland, Slovakia, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of pales by comparison to Sweden and Finland, as every game will in this tournament until we get to the elimination rounds. But I think for Switzerland, they're still trying to find their offense, you know, where it really flows and they finish some of the chances. They're getting volume, maybe not getting quite enough quality, and the quality of finish hasn't been there yet. And I looked at Timo Meier and Nico Hischier, both of them are fantastic players, but they've been just fine, not dominant. And I think Timo Meier specifically can be dominant, so watch for him to kind of try to up his level. And for Slovakia, I don't know, like there feels like they're building off of the Olympics, and there's all this positivity and a lot of attention with Nemec and Slavkovsky, and yet they haven't had much going on in this tournament. You know, they lost to Germany, lost to Canada. Well, that's probably expected. They beat the French, which is probably expected. So here's another opportunity to say we are closer to the top group than we are kind of stuck in the middle. Better than the bottom parts, but maybe not quite as good enough to battle the top three teams. So that's what we're going to learn out of Slovakia today. And I'm curious to see, how they do, how they match up against a Swiss team that is very good. They don't give you many chances. So that's what I want to watch.
Austria, Norway over here in Tampere. Reagan, do the Austrians have more confidence coming into this game that they can take anyone on at this point?
I hope so. I think that they should, for sure. But, like we've been saying and like we've always said, it doesn't matter what happened in yesterday's game. And I think that they know that and they're going to take the same energy that they had yesterday into today's game against Norway. So it's going to be a good match for both of them, especially Norway, who had to win in a shootout the other day when it should have probably been a clear win for them. So I think it's going to be really nice.
And we talked about this game in our preview show, marking it on the calendar as France versus Italy, two teams that are in competition possibly for relegation. Italy still looking for their first win, while France beat Kazakhstan earlier this week. Critical game for the two of them.
Well, France can punch their ticket, right? Mm-hmm. They win this, they're in. And that would be huge. They want to stay up in the top level and play next year. And Italy, they probably look at this game as one of the games that they have a chance to win that are remaining and to put themselves where they don't get relegated. So, this is one of those. Sure, they're towards the bottom of the standings, but it doesn't matter. It's a massive game on a lot of different levels, maybe more important than Finland and Sweden because of what's at stake in potential relegation. So I would expect kind of a level of desperation, intensity, and both teams appreciating what's at stake.
All right, guys, are you ready for a little bit of Cade Nielsen fun? Listen.
Yes, more Cade.
I think I had some of them on fantasy hockey this year. So I'm like if I talk to them about the ice, I'm like, I do fantasy, that's pretty cool.
He looks like a hockey player.
Oh my goodness. He's got the like long hair, the no teeth, talking about playing video games, fantasy hockey, whatever. But I think that's the reality for some of these guys. We talked to the guys a couple years ago with Great Britain. They're like, dude, I was watching YouTube highlights of Patty Kane last night, and now I'm playing against him. And that is such a surreal experience to go up against those kind of guys. I mean, I remember my second game of my career in the NHL, I played against Pittsburgh, and I found myself lined up in a face-off with Mario Lemieux. I'm like, what the hell am I doing? I was in college 3 days ago, and I'm playing against Mario Lemieux right now. And it's those kind of moments. And then you got to try to, like,
starstruck moments.
Yes. And like, you don't want that on the ice. You don't want to be that, but you can't help it. And I imagine there's an odd moment where these guys would feel that Oliver Ekman-Larsson or Rasmus Dahlin or like these kind of players that are superstar NHLers that they're like, oh boy, I'm going to go run him for the boards now. But for a moment, you're like, yeah, that's pretty neat.
That's exactly how I felt too, playing against Hillary Knight, Kendall Coyne, all of those girls. Yes. I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, I literally have a picture with Hillary Knight from ninth grade where she was already on the Olympic team.
Did you show her that picture?
What is it? I did not show it to her. I was playing against her. But it was 8 years later, and I'm playing against her. I'm literally lined up. I'm playing defense, and I stop her on a breakaway. And I'm like, oh my God, who am I? And who is she? I have no idea.
You should have told her to make her feel old. Get in her head a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure Cade plays the IHL fantasy, but we should get him into our fantasy league. I don't think it's too late, because at this point he can at least still beat me. Even though I had a decent day yesterday, guys. I had 7.
You did.
I was awful again.
Reagan.
I was bad.
You clued me into the captain thing, which I didn't even know was a thing. But it hurt me because I made Timo Meier my captain and he was -4. So it doubled a negative score for me. It was unbelievable. You sewered me with your tips. It was hilarious. I'm like, oh my God, that was awful. So yeah, I am not, I wasn't doing very well either. I was not very good yesterday, but today's another day. I got to bounce back. I got to park a bad result and get back after it.
I also followed your advice about choosing a captain, and I put Sebastian Dom. So that was 10 points that I credit to you.
Dang.
Nicely done.
Thanks. But don't listen to me because I just do auto select. I'm not good at choosing the players in the heat of the moment because I do it on the pregame show. So I'm like, whatever. Let's just see how it goes.
Well, even I don't do auto select, Reagan.
You don't? Good for you.
Well, I do the auto select and then I go through them and I switch the players that I don't want on my team.
So yeah, but I get like 20 seconds to go
through it. This is like a 10-minute process for me. I go through, I look at everyone's points, I check out who's the option, who I've already used multiple times. This is a process.
All right, I'll choose mine today. How about that? Let's see if I can GM it up.
Official GM it up after this call. We'll see how we do.
All right, well, Finland, Sweden, huge games tonight. Oh, both over here with this one over in Helsinki with Italy, France. It's going to be a big day of hockey. So we're going to part ways so we can all go prepare. And we'll be right back here tomorrow to talk about everything that went on today.
Enjoy the big night. Should be fun.
Bye, everybody.